WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The movie L.A. Confidential opens this weekend. It's based on a novel by James Ellroy set in Los Angeles in the early 50s. The story follows corrupt cops, organized crime leaders, Hollywood scandal sheets, Hollywood stars, and hookers that impersonate them. In a few minutes, we'll talk with the film's director, Curtis Hanson, and one of the stars of the film, Russell Crowe. First, our film critic, John Powers, is back to talk about the movie.
Well, I think L.A. Confidential is probably the best Hollywood studio movie made in several years. I think it has the virtues that I think most people love in big studio movies. It has characters that interest you. It has a story that holds you and actually excites you more as it goes along. It's a period piece set in 50s Hollywood, so it actually has the sort of mood and atmosphere and lavish costumes and sets that basically Hollywood is the only place in the world that can actually create. And it brings it all together in an exciting story, so that when you're watching it, it holds you in the way that Hollywood movies hold you. I mean, art movies can hold you in a certain way and often be perhaps more brilliant or more intelligent. But there's something about the way a Hollywood movie holds you when you actually are interested in the characters and interested in the plot and are loving the production design and the music and everything that really is very special. And L.A. Confidential does that, and it's a real old, fun Hollywood movie of the kind that people in Hollywood are loving. And when you talk to people in Hollywood, they're thinking, why can't we make movies like this anymore?
Tell something about the story.
Well, L.A. Confidential is basically set in the 50s, and it's the story of three cops who are trying to deal with more or less the problems of crime in Los Angeles while at the same time advancing their own careers and their own psychological agendas. One of the cops is named Bud White. He's played by Russell Crowe, the Australian actor. And he's essentially this kind of bull of a man who is driven to be a cop because of various violent things in his past. He's the kind of guy who will never ask you a question if he can sort of beat the information out of you. But he does it righteously. He's actually not a bad guy. Another cop is Ed Exley, who's the kind of grinning guy who looks like... Maybe he has the kind of big teeth and sort of nice looks of the college professor that probably you didn't like because he's just a little too handsome and smug. He's a very self-righteous cop, and he actually thinks he's doing everything by the book. Yet there's this secret core of ambition to him. Just as Bud White's decency is sort of undone by his violence, Ed Exley is just inherently slippery, so that he uses his morality as sort of a way of promoting himself. Then there's the third cop, called Jack Vincennes, who's played by Kevin Spacey. And he's sort of a Dean Martin type of a cop, sort of a swinger. He works as a consultant on a show like Dragnet, and he loves his celebrity. He takes money from a scandal magazine. But at the same time, he became a cop for some reason, and there's a core of decency to him, too. And as you're watching, basically what happens is a series of crimes unfold, and each of them are working on more or less separate stories, but gradually, as the film develops, they all seem to be working on the same larger crime. And suddenly, each of these people who are so very different are starting to reveal new aspects of one another, so that you realize that the bullish, honest Bud White needs the brains of the slippery Ed. Similarly, the corrupt-seeming cop who works on TV is in some ways more honest than some of the other cops who seem less corrupt. And sort of the pleasure and satisfaction of this is you're getting this vision of the world of these three cops who are then surrounded by what people still know about the LA police force, that it is an excessively violent police force, that it's a racist police force. And you get all of that, so there's sort of a political view, and in addition to all of that, because it's L.A., you're having the idea of everybody wanting to be celebrities, being linked to celebrities, so everybody's identity is in one way or another linked to how they're perceived in the public. So this is a film that probably, you know, to really work out, should probably be longer because it's actually trying to offer an entire conception of 50s Los Angeles where it's about celebrity, about race, about money, and how it all links together.
I think the actors in this movie are fantastic, particularly Russell Crowe and Kevin Spacey. What'd you think?
Oh, no, the acting is tremendous all the way through. I think, you know, this is a film when you're watching it, you're thinking, everybody here is good. You know, Kevin Spacey is a guy, you know, there's something kind of unlikable about a lot of the Kevin Spacey performances that, you know, he kind of does the Kevin Spacey thing a lot. Which kind of makes my flesh crawl under normal circumstances. Here, he's just absolutely wonderful. There's a moment, his sort of epiphany in his life, when he meets up with his boss in a kind of shady circumstance, is the greatest moment of his acting career. He's unbelievably good. Similarly, Russell Crowe, who was an actor who was essentially brought to the States as a cute guy, and I think as sort of an attempt to create another Mel Gibson, is now playing this kind of Nick Nolte-ish, bullish cop who is decent and strong, yet knows he's not smart enough, which is one of the things he says in the film. Basically, I know I'm not smart enough. And he has this kind of really primal force and decency that makes you go from sort of laughing at him and being scared by him to realizing, oh, actually, he really is a good guy. You know, even though you wouldn't think he's a good guy, he's wounded. At the same time, he's tough, he's tender and confused.
Have you read the novel L.A. Confidential, which the movie's based on?
Yes, I have.
How would you compare the screenplay and the novel?
Well, actually, I'm a good friend of mine is married to the novelist James Ellroy, and so I will have to live with whatever I say here. But I will tell you honestly, I think that I prefer the screenplay to the novel because the novel is finally too Baroque. I mean, I think many people will find that that the film L.A. Confidential has too much plot. I mean, it's a very heavily plotted film, and yet the novel has even more plot because what Ellroy likes to do is basically take the city of Los Angeles in particular, start a story and show how everything connects in it, how every level of society from the highest to the lowest, every sexual idea is linked to everything else. And basically, so it expands out. And then he does it in terms of these incredibly elaborate Byzantine plots where everything links up. You know, at the end of The Black Dahlia, there's a scene, which is one of his earlier novels, there's a scene where a guy basically talks for like 50 pages explaining to you what you've just been reading because it's so tied up. L.A. Confidential doesn't have that. The book, the novel actually has more of it than the film. The film trims it back and actually in that respect, I think, makes it more manageable and it flies by in a really good way. I mean, I happen to know that Ellroy genuinely does like the adaptation of this film. And I think he can see that what has been done is someone has taken a very, very, very complicated novel and managed to keep the major through lines going and make it somehow pay off while keeping the integrity of that weird kind of gleefully amoral Ellroy vision of the world, which is something that you very seldom get, I think, in films anymore.
Well, John, thanks for talking with us. And the movie we've been talking about is L.A. Confidential. John Powers is Fresh Air's film critic and film critic for Vogue magazine. Thanks, John.
Sure thing.